and I'll tell you guys since we're all friends. Every character I write has a piece of me in them.
Hi, I'm Leigh Bardugo. You're listening to The Grisha Cast.
Welcome to GrishaCast, episode 173. In this episode, we will be doing some TED talking about some Grisha. This is your host, Eric.
And I'm Terry. From Nashville, Tennessee, this is your podcast for all things Grishaverse.
A world created by the amazing Leigh Bardugo. Ooh, muy sabiani, casters.
Hi, hello.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm a little...
Everybody's good.
We're all good. A little tired, but good.
Yeah,
so what's been going on? Anything special?
I mean, just a lot of working. Mm-hmm. Had to do, like, certifications for work. Really boring. I don't even know, really... what to talk about. I know. Wait, hold on. Ooh. I know exactly what we can talk about.
Girl.
It's something that came up in therapy yesterday. And I was actually thinking, you know, I bet, because I was also thinking about our podcast, and I was thinking that I bet a lot of our listeners could probably relate. So I was thinking, like, I could bring it up quickly just to, like, maybe somebody could... relate to it or have an aha moment or whatever.
Yes, let's do it.
So it's really difficult to talk to, like, neurotypical people about it because it's really hard to say, hello, I am neurodivergent and my neurodivergency is being gifted. Because then everybody looks at you like you're a pompous bee because, like, okay, you think you're better than me. But it comes with its own, it comes with, like, major difficulties that people don't realize. It kind of falls under the same umbrella as, like, autism, ADHD. But a lot of my self-reflection is about why I am the way I am. Why do I feel like I think differently than everyone else? Why can't I be good in a relationship? All these things. And part of the discussion yesterday, and I hadn't thought about being gifted in a very, very long time because I was diagnosed when I was like 8. And that came with major problems in school. But then when I got out of school, I was like, peace out, gifted. I'm not thinking about you anymore. And so I haven't nurtured it and I haven't thought about it. And I've just kind of let it go. And I'm like, yeah, my brain works differently, but whatever, fine. But then you get older. And you're like, why are things the way that they are? Why? How did I end up here? And so it came up yesterday. So people that are gifted adults, are often seeking ways to engage their brain. So that's in conversation. That's in other people. We often try to, like, if somebody's really into something, we're like, tell us about it. Let's talk about it. Like, we have to, oh my God, all the things. Let's have a really intelligent conversation about this. And not everybody wants to, but, like, we seek out people who we can talk to intelligently. And so we end up with few friends, very few friends. And in relationships, it's not that we think that we're better than the other person, but, like, if they stop engaging you emotionally and intellectually, then it's just done. And, like, it's like the cloud lifts away and then you're like, oh, well, this sucks. And it's really hard to keep that going.
Yeah.
So a very, very high majority of gifted people end up alone in their life because it's just really hard to keep that up.
Yeah.
In a relationship. And so a lot of people are gifted and they don't know it, but, like, if you're hyperlexic, meaning that you started reading early, you love language, that's, like, your superpower is language. And I thought that, you know, because we're a reading podcast, that probably could be many of our listeners.
Right. Yes.
So, and I was just having this conversation with Alden in the car because he is also gifted. If you ever feel like I'm different, what's wrong? Am I ever going to find anybody or whatever? Just remember that, like, you're gifted and it just means that you're better than everyone else. No, that's not, that's not it.
Please, can it be though? I really love that.
It's just that your brain needs engagement differently than others. And until you find that in somebody else, then it's just not going to happen. The weird reason why this got brought up was that, like, was sexuality has been like a weird thing with me lately. Like, I can't figure myself out. And so I'm like, I'm queer, or like, I think I'm one way. And then, like, maybe I'm not. And then, I became attracted to somebody that was just out of the blue. And I was like, but I know, like, I thought, like, I swore this kind of people off. But then I found this like little like thrill, and I realized it was our conversations. It was that, like, we're interested in the same things and we're having these like wild, excited conversations about things that I'm really into. And I'm like, oh, aha, that's it. That's exactly it. So I know I'm a demisexual and that's where I'm landing. And I don't know if I'm going to like bring gender into it or not. But it's been a weird, that was a whole lot. I just excitedly just like, ah, word salad. Yeah.
It's delicious.
But, but I just thought that maybe other people could relate.
Absolutely. Honey, I do what you just did the majority of our podcast. So, goodness gracious. First off, I think very brave of you to talk about it, but I have a question. What is the definition of demisexual?
Demisexual is basically you are not just automatically sexually attracted to somebody, that like you have to know them.
Okay.
For me, it's very based on personality. So I'm very highly attracted to somebody's personality, which can very much get me into trouble very, very quickly, because if somebody's very like, you know, got a big personality, I'm like, that's for me. And no. It's typically bites me in the butt. But typically it's like you fall in love and you become sexually attracted to their mind.
Okay.
And like them as like an inner person. And there's not really a term for being attracted to somebody's personality, so it just kind of fits in like the demisexual thing. Yeah. So
I think that's beautiful. I think that's
I
think that's incredible, to be honest. I think love should be about not only just, you know, it's about what's inside, you know?
Yes.
And it is our personalities. And goodness, we are like, whew, you unloaded a lot, girl.
So much. And it spiraled. I was like, I'm just going to talk about this part. And then it was just like, let's talk about the whole therapy session.
Well, you need to get it out.
Just like a spiral. So, I mean, I just let it out to like the whole world. But that's fine.
It is, and it's perfect. And
it might help somebody.
I think we would be very surprised if it didn't, because I think there's a lot of people out there that relate to a lot of the things that we end up talking about. I mean, that's why they're listening, and, you know, we're all humans on this earth experiencing our own life, and, yeah, we have a lot of different things going on that we can relate to. I don't know. There's always people out there that I know always need to hear, like, hear a message. And don't you ever find yourself like sometimes, like we talked about this, I don't think it was on the podcast, but how we were in specific places hearing a message at that exact time, like,
yes.
Like I just think that's neat. It's very serendipitous, but it's
sometimes you hear the things that you need to hear when you need to hear it, and it becomes like a, are they talking about me?
Right. Yeah. Especially if it happens in like such a, like it keeps happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the really weird part is like, oh my God. And I know that we were relating about a time that my mom, we were like, my dad had just passed, and mm-hmm. we went to a synagogue, and the guy speaking literally, like, I couldn't even tell you what he was talking about, but his message was like, oh my God, like that is directed at my mom.
It was about moving on after the passing of a loved one. About how moving on is beautiful and strong and like all these things. And it was just like, wow. it was actually insane because she was really struggling and we were having conversations about how do we keep her going. And then the message was just like right there.
Yeah, it was so neat. It was just, it was perfect. And cause it was right after it had happened and it was, yeah, but that's one of the many times that like, it's been happening recently, I think. I think I haven't really noticed that stuff before. I think, or maybe it's just I wasn't really open to seeing if the answer was going to come from somewhere else sometimes. And yeah, maybe, I don't know whether it's that I'm open to hearing the message, but I feel like it happens a lot now. Like I just, yeah.
Yeah, I've been going on a weird spiral of constantly hearing these messages of like being yourself and not apologizing for yourself. Like it seems to be like coming at me like from all angles.
At some point you almost think, is this like planned? Is somebody like messing with me? Because it's
I hear you.
What was that?
I'm trying.
What was that movie that we grew up with? Oh my gosh, Jim Carrey, that he lives in a world where they're always filming him?
Truman Show.
Truman Show.
I love that movie so much.
I haven't seen that in so long.
I need to get like the kids to watch it. But anyway, yes.
Yes.
We're like, there's somebody up in the control booth going like, they're not believing in themselves. We need to send them a message.
Yeah. Ooh. I wonder what that control booth looks like. I bet it's huge.
Is it heaven?
Is it heaven? Ugh. Well. So let's see.
So how are you?
So how am I? I'm good. I really don't know if there's really a lot going on.
No, like big epiphanies you've had in the last week.
I think the biggest epiphany I already told you was that Mean Girls came onto Paramount Plus, and I was so excited about that. But I also was like horrified, but happy that I didn't have to spend money to watch it because. It did not do well in theaters. And then the fact that
I'm glad I didn't go to the theater to see it, honestly.
Right. And the fact that it also just got added to Paramount Plus this early was like another like little warning to me. Like, oh goodness gracious.
Things are actually coming to like streaming services like way early. Like Barbie made me so upset because I paid to like watch it and then it immediately came to Apple or whatever and I was like oh no it came to HBO but sorry
no you're good go with Barbie's great. I love Barbie. That's like one of my favorite movies of time, I think, now.
But yeah, HBO added it with the ASL on it, so that was fun.
Yeah, it's they've been coming out, like I love that movies have been coming out more quickly. However, some like Napoleon got added to HBO, no, not HBO, Apple. That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
I watched Napoleon.
What'd you think?
So, I totally...
That great?
Well, I agree with you. It is very weird watching a movie about French history and everybody else having a French accent, and then Joaquin Phoenix just sounds like an American.
It's very jarring, isn't it?
Yeah, and
It kind of takes you out of it.
I also, I almost texted you through it, but didn't. I found a lot of parts really humorous.
Yeah.
I was laughing a lot at him, like, at the things he was saying. Like, there's one part, my God, I was cracking up when he was at some kind of dinner and his wife was there, but he's like, God bless me with this pork chop or something. It was so, like...
Yeah.
I found it very interesting and weird. But also, what was hard for me was I don't know. I needed a reminder of the whole Marie Antoinette situation and why all that stuff kind of happened. And I don't think they gave, maybe it was just me. I don't think it was explained well enough for me to understand. Like, I mean, I know.
Well, I think they started with the thought that like you would have known about Marie Antoinette because she's one of the biggest. And you also don't freaking, like, you're not with Les Mis.
I know.
So
is that hurting me too?
So like, in the beginning, when they're, like, talking about the barricades and everything, that's Les Mis. But,
okay.
And then, Marie Antoinette with Kirsten Dunst. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, but a long time ago.
Basically, it was just the French people were over the extravagance of their leaders. The leaders were like living it up and just having the time of their lives and spending money like nothing while the French people got poorer and poorer and poorer. Kind of like what's happening now in America.
Okay.
But the French people were like, we're not taking this. And they fought back and they started the French Revolution and they the whole like barricade and they were fighting their government and they demanded the heads of their leaders.
Wow. Yeah, that was one thing that I found it very interesting. I liked it. Would I watch it again? No. I mean, it's a long movie. But I found parts like definitely very interesting, especially like I hope some of this stuff is real. I'm like Napoleon's like his mind and the way that he thought about like the different attacks.
He was gifted.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool, especially on the lake.
The frozen lake thing has not been proven.
Okay. But is it like rumored?
It's rumored.
Okay. So at least they got it based off of something.
It is based off of something.
But it's not. Well, I mean, yeah. I did find it also very jarring that the beginning is just Marie Antoinette getting her head cut off.
Yeah.
Like, whew. And the way that happened, I just, goodness.
Yeah.
It was like, wow. And it's neat, but also like a little scary how you can see a crowd of people turn like, I mean, against you. And then all of a sudden your life is literally in danger.
Yeah.
Like I really got a lot of that from the movie. Like just watching, I don't know, looked like they were having, it was the government talking. And then all of a sudden people were fighting against the guy that was leading it, and then he pretty much like had to shoot himself because he was about to get like mobbed by the people disagreeing. It was a very interesting movie. I actually liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to. I thought I was going to be completely confused, but I really did enjoy it. It was good. Is the what's her name? Whoever, like, gosh, I can't remember her name. Who he's in love with?
Josephine.
So is she real?
Yes. She's,
okay.
Do you remember the Tori Amos song? Tonight, Josephine.
Oh, wow. It all comes together. So
Tonight, Josephine is about their quote unquote like love story. That they had a complicated relationship and they didn't portray it as well as I wanted them to in it. Because there were so many rumors about how, like, they were really in love, but she needed more attention from him.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole, like, not tonight, Josephine, is, like, a famous line of, like, she's like, you know, be with me, make love to me. And he's like, not tonight, Josephine, because he has other things on his mind.
Yeah.
Or maybe his whatever he couldn't perform or, like, whatever. But, like, they would write notes back and forth all the time. I've got an actual like bound book of like their love story and like their notes that they send to each other. But there's so many times where they just weren't on the same page where like, she's writing like, I need this from you. I need this from you. And then it stops. And then he's writing like, why are you doing this to me? I'm trying to like win this war. I'm trying to like be a man. I'm trying to. So it was very complicated.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's very neat. I really did enjoy it. And yeah, there's so much to that. It's a long movie, but it is.
And I don't know how, like, because I thought it was going to be, like, how do they fit Napoleon's reign into one movie? Yeah. So they really, like, jam-packed it in there.
Which I think is actually a pretty, like, they did a good job of that because, I mean, it keeps you interested. I mean, it's not, like,
fast-paced.
Yeah, it is. I think the most surprising part for me, because I don't know Napoleon's history at all, was when he really starts out like, I don't know, not really far, and then all of a sudden he becomes king, like
emperor.
Yeah, that was
of his own making,
right? Yeah. And he laughs at everything. I mean, they suggest
he was quirky and snarky and he was gifted or a genius or whatever, but like, he was just very famously like snarky, and a lot of people thought he was a butthead.
Mm. Well, usually people that are gifted or are very smart tend to have people that are jealous of them.
He was definitely neurodivergent in some way. Like, just from the accounts that I've read, just from, like, not being social, like, not being, like, socially aware and things like that, so.
I would love to see some of his, if they have any, like, battles that they, like, know that this is one of his, like, tactics that he did or something like that. That'd be kind of cool to see.
If you ever go to, like, the History Channel or anything like that, there are so many things on certain battles. Like, the Battle of Waterloo is definitely, like, on there. But
just learned about that. I feel like an idiot.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a famous battle.
And it's it is a famous battle. And also a famous ABBA song.
It is.
And I had no clue what...
It is.
Yeah. And then I was wondering how it ended. And then I remembered the lyrics to the ABBA song. And I ruined it for myself. Because the answer is right there in the lyrics.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I love myself because I never caught on to that. Yeah.
That's okay.
I never knew what Waterloo was for a really long time. Then I did find out I didn't just learn that Waterloo was a place just the other day. I did learn that a little bit back, but I'm not going to lie and say that I've always known that.
Right.
Well.
But yeah, I'm obsessed with Napoleon, so.
Well, he is part somehow on the Ginsburg line. He is like, I don't know how, on my father's side we are related to him. No clue. It was just 23andMe said under the section where it had famous relatives or people in your family tree, and Napoleon is there. I have no clue at all how that could even possibly be possible, to be honest.
Well, I'm sure if you start looking on Ancestry, you could trace it back.
Trace
and
it all
find
the way
it.
Back. Well, okay, so that was a fun little discussion on some Napoleon. We started out, and I did Mean Girls. I actually surprised, I'm just going to talk for a second. I watched a little bit of it last night and thought I was going to turn it off in like the first 5 minutes because I've just heard really bad things about it. I'm actually enjoying it. I don't know what it is, to be honest, but I'm not hating it.
I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I was kind of bored with it.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't...
I wasn't a fan of the songs. Like, the songs were weird and didn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't know. I just
Agreed.
Got bored. I like that Regina George is not a teeny tiny skinny thing, that she's...
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with her. Maybe that's why I'm watching. I think once she got on screen,
she's beautiful.
Oh my God.
Absolutely breathtakingly beautiful.
And has like a face that's like, it's beautiful, but also fierce.
Yeah.
Like it's just this, oh my God. And she's got some pipes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is. I'm obsessed with Regina George. I am. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So... Anyways, well, maybe we should get on to our TED Talk. So just to let you all know, thank you all for the people that voted. Our winners for the final bracket is...
the face-to-face head-off.
Yeah, we've got Zoya and Nina.
Yay!
Which I'm not shocked by.
No.
Not by the four that we were left with.
I mean, it's kind of serendipitous that those are our favorites.
I know, it did.
It worked out.
I'm surprised the Darkling did not make it.
Yeah, the Darkling was out quite a while back.
So that shocked me a little bit when I think about who we've gone through. But we also have to remember it had to do with who they were paired up against.
That's true.
I mean, if... The Darkling could have kind of gotten screwed in the beginning, maybe. I don't know. It just depends who they were up against. Because, I mean, Tamar made it to the final four, which she is badass. I get it. But I don't know if I would have guessed she would have made it to the top four.
But, like, if we had put, like, the Darkling with, like, Elisaveta, like, would that have changed things? Or the Darkling... with, I don't know, somebody else? Like, would that have changed?
You're right.
The course of things.
I think what's interesting is just Alina,
she made it really far.
She did, for a person that lost her power in book three.
Yes. Alina made it very far. I mean, she's a beloved character, though. Like, she's not since we've made it to the end without Alina, we can say, like, as far as the most powerful Grisha, she was for a very short amount of time.
Right. And, you know, there might be people that are, like, I mean, just have watched the show and are basing it off of
This is true.
I mean, that could...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. It's...
Whatever.
She gets powerless.
We've talked about it before, so...
Yeah, duh. So... We're going to do our little TED Talks, which I don't know if at this point, I don't even know if I should call mine a TED Talk because I have no clue what is going to happen. This was a great idea in my head. And then when I sat down to do this, oh my God, I have no clue what I'm doing. And I've watched all these different TED Talks. None of them helped me figure out what to do.
Well, I'm at a slight advantage because I'm in... master's program and I have to write things literally all the time.
Well, you're gonna go first because you should.
Okay.
And yeah, so anyways, you got Nina, and yeah, so what do you...
So the title of my TED Talk is...
Oh God, there's a title?
Embracing Complexity, Celebrating Nina Zinnick in the Grishaverse.
Okay.
Friends and enemies, humans, non-humans, and y'all, imagine a world where bravery meets vulnerability, where strength intertwines with compassion, and where resilience shines brightest in the face of adversity. Today, I invite you to journey into the rich tapestry of the Grishaverse and explore why Nina Zinnick stands as a beacon of hope, courage, and humanity. In Leigh Bardugo's captivating Grishaverse book series, amidst the intricate webs of politics, power, and magic, Nina Zinnick emerges as a character of profound depth and complexity. From her spirited wit to her unwavering determination, Nina captivates readers with her journey of self-discovery, redemption, and unwavering loyalty. She accomplishes this in four strong categories. 1. Unapologetic strength. Nina Zinnick embodies a strength that goes beyond physical prowess. She confronts her past traumas, embraces her Grisha powers even as they evolve, and fearlessly stands for what she believes in. Despite facing numerous challenges, Nina remains steadfast in her convictions, inspiring readers to embrace their own inner strength and resilience. 2. Compassionate empathy. Beneath Nina's fierce exterior lies a heart overflowing with empathy and compassion. Her ability to empathize with others, regardless of their backgrounds or beliefs, fosters connections that transcend boundaries. Nina's unwavering compassion serves as a reminder of the power of empathy to bridge divides and unite communities. 3. Complexity and growth. Throughout the series, Nina undergoes a profound journey of growth and self-discovery. She grapples with difficult choices, confronts her biases, and learns to embrace her identity fully. Nina's evolution from a conflicted spy to a champion of justice exemplifies the beauty of embracing complexity and embracing change. 4. Defying expectations. Nina Zinnick challenges traditional stereotypes and defies societal expectations from the moment we meet her in the series and then again at every turn. As a voluptuous, non-hetero Grisha, she shatters narrow definitions of beauty and sexuality, celebrating her identity with absolute, unapologetic pride. Nina's journey empowers readers to embrace their own uniqueness and defy their societal norms. In conclusion, Nina Zinnick stands as a testament to the power of resilience, compassion, and authenticity. Her journey reminds us that true greatness lies not in perfection, but in embracing our flaws, celebrating our strengths, and standing tall in the face of adversity. As we navigate our own journeys, May we draw inspiration from Nina's unwavering spirit and remember that we all can be better than waffles. Thank you.
That was amazing.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, all the snaps, all the claps. Okay, so good job.
Thanks.
Now I know what to do. Maybe I need an example, but now I, well, you did a fantastic job. I love that.
Thank you.
It was really good. I, for some reason, got myself wrapped up in confusion and just pretty much ended up with a lot of, like, little notes on why I think Zoya is powerful. So bear with me. And I did have a little fun in the beginning. All the videos I was watching tended to be at, like, conventions or something. So, okay, well, I might as well just start mine. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming to the 2024 Materialkai of the Year Expo. And thank you to our sponsors, Duris and Denim. You truly do make the most outstanding keftas. Yeah, I had a little fun with that. Soldier, squalor, daughter of a Suli man. These are the words Zoya used to describe herself in front of a room of people that were about to try and, or were about to possibly put her on the throne. And Christopher, we can hear you. Okay. I just sounded crazy again, but that's okay. She, Zoya definitely is feared by many because of her immense powers and her Regina George vibes. Yes. She started out with squalor powers, manipulating the wind within the Etherealkai order. And she later became actually a member of the Grisha Triumvirate, which Zoya represented the Etherealkai. And when she was a commander of the Second Army, she helped teach younger Grisha students at the Little Palace her teaching style. However harsh it might have been, she stayed concerned about her students' well-being. And I think this is a very important part. She had phenomenal mentors, such as the Sun Summoner Alina, the Darkling, and Sankt Juris. She fought alongside Alina Starkov in the Ravkin Civil War to the bitter end. And sure, the Darkling isn't going to win Little Miss Sunshine. However, he possesses strong and extremely rare power and did help her harness her how to use her own powers. And then we've got Juris, who becomes not only a mentor, but I believe a father figure to Zoya, teaching her about the origins of Grisha power and how to summon the powers of all the Etherealkai suborders, teaching Zoya that she doesn't call power, she is power. Ilya Moritsova did say, "Aren't we all things?" Not only can Zoya manipulate water, air, and fire, she now can shapeshift into a dragon. Yep. Zoya also is our current queen of Ravka. And plus, she happens to be romantically involved with our prior king of Ravka, Nikolai, which doesn't really talk about power, but hey, we love Nikolai. So I think it's important to point that out. She also is fluent in Ravkin, Kirch, Suli, and Shu. So we know she can speak other languages. bottom line, Zoya can turn into a dragon. Period. The end. Good night.
I like it.
Well, thank you.
I like it. You did well.
It actually, to be honest, that did not go nearly as bad as I thought it was going to.
No, it was good.
And actually, but the funniest part was hearing our producer.
Oh, my. Yeah, we don't need to repeat what.
Well, we can't. But no. Apparently Lucy was trying to say hello. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you all will rush to the polls and cast your vote at GrishaCast.com.
Yes.
And yeah, it was fun. I think we both did a good job, and it was fun.
It was fun.
It was. So you all, we love you all, and don't forget, go to GrishaCast.com to cast your vote. And we are going to, I guess, see you all next time. So we love you all. Long live the Grishaverse.
Like, we're at the end of the hour, so my voice is a little husky. A plus.
No mourners.
No funerals.
This has been GrishaCast. Connect with us on the web at GrishaCast.com. Send an email to info@GrishaCast.com.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, X, and TikTok at GrishaCast.
Ooh, thank you to our amazing staff, Alex, Michelle, Lacey, Amelia, and Brenda.